So we'll give everyone a few minutes to get on the call. So Claire and Julie, how long are you in town for?
So, we're leaving Saturday morning.
Okay.
So we're here for the next 3 days.
Okay.
Okay. We're hoping to get together with you all.
Right, right. So when does
So is the next James call a 7 o'clock meeting?
Mm-hmm. I have to get off at 7:30 because I...
Oh, gotcha. Oh, you do?
Well, Tina, since we're waiting, is tomorrow afternoon going to work?
Yeah, so we said tomorrow afternoon seemed like the best time, but we can confirm with you later today.
Okay.
And we'll have Jan for you, Adams, on the phone too. So.
Okay. Okay.
Hello.
Leah's here.
Hi, Leah. We'll just wait for a few more people. We had quite a few people come on. I'll wait a few minutes before going through the roll. Ed's not going to be on the call today. So Elizabeth's on. Sarah, are you on?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm here.
And Michael? I know he was going to be, I think, in his car.
Always fun.
Okay. Is Jeff on?
Yes.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
And Peter? Not on yet. Okay, so I have Bill, Ken Jones, Elizabeth Sowell, Tiff Wozniak, Sarah, Tina, Johan. Is John Hannigan? Did I hear him come on?
Can I triple A's here?
Hello.
Hey.
Hannigan's here.
Hi, John.
Hi, Michael Charnas. How? Hi.
Michael.
I'm not in a car either.
Oh, you're not?
Yeah. I thought I would be.
Let me guess, you're in a plane.
Oh, I'm in my cockpit, which says 4. But it's a plane. It doesn't fly anywhere, and it has no windows.
We had a few more people join us.
Good morning. This is Dan.
Hi, Dan.
And this is Scott Brunel sitting in for Kathy again.
Hi, Scott.
Hi.
Tom at NOFAS is here.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi, Susan Tapert just joining in.
Oh, hi, Susan. I think we have almost everyone. Is Peter on yet?
Yeah.
Jen, I only have about 30 minutes today. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, and Peter does too, so that's first on our agenda.
Me too.
Okay. Okay. So I know that we'll give Peter one more minute I guess what we could do is go ahead and go to our second agenda item while we wait for Peter to come on, although he's part of that conversation as well. One of the things that came up in our face-to-face meeting was devising a strategy to look to relate brain, face, and behavior. So one of the questions is what have we made any progress and who's taking the lead on that and what updates we might have on that.
Elizabeth, I think that's partly what Peter's going to be talking about. So okay. From the brain...
Did Peter come on? I heard someone
I'm just on. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, okay. Yes. Okay. Well, I guess we'll have you go ahead and give your project update, Peter, and that'll probably lead into the conversation about the combined brain, face, and behavior data. I know there are several people that have to leave early, so I wanted to get us going.
So, do you want me to start then?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Is this something on WebEx there?
No, I haven't uploaded anything. I have to apologize that I'm actually about to go to a concert, and I'm outside the venue of the concert, sitting in an open-air garden on the Greenwich Mean Line. So,
Who are you going to listen
to? Hey? You may hear some funny noises like bells tolling and various things. And I'm also in a brewery. That's very appropriate.
You're really trying to make us jealous, aren't you?
Just rub it in. Go ahead.
It was the only place with free Wi-Fi. I just wanted to give an update really on two things, on the Oxford project on prenatal imaging, which I spoke about briefly at our face-to-face meeting in Washington. You may remember I gave some examples where from 3D ultrasound images, my colleagues in Oxford had started to extract some components of the face in terms of a sort of set of points on the face, but had not yet converted them to meshes so that we can use them in our set of images from the past data, because these are past ultrasound images. But actually, I went there on last Friday, and they've now completed that part of the project, and they're about to hand over to me some 3D meshes. So these are for 3D ultrasound faces at 28 weeks gestation. Oh, hello?
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 The concert started.
Hear music. That isn't me.
Somebody went on mute or something.
Yeah.
So that I can now start to mix these 3D meshes of the fetal faces at 28 weeks with the 1 month and 1 year one year images, you know, the photographs from the past project. So that's really very exciting, and I'm looking forward to doing that. Some of these children, of course, we have now imaged then prenatally at 1 month and 1 year, so we can see, I hope, the progress of their sort of growth and features. So that's where that's got to. On the face-brain front, you may remember I also showed some preliminary analysis of face-brain using Mike's new extension to our software, which now can look at face and brain components. And then I actually showed a model which just had 57 face-brain pairs in it, and they were split 12 FAS, 24 heavy exposure, and 21 control. Well, we've now, with the help of Elizabeth Sowell, Claire Coles, and Sarah Matson, raised the number of face-brain pairs, but we've doubled it. So we've got 120 now. So we've got 52 heavy exposure, 45 controls, and still a relatively low number, 19 FAS, PFAS face-brain pairs. But I think this is certainly enough now to start the analysis. And what Mike has started to do is to complete the landmarking of all those new faces. And then I should especially thank Elizabeth Sowell's data manager, Eric Kahn, who's been very cooperative and has been able to transfer to us all the segmented corpus callosum contours. So Mike is busy kind of doing some sort of preparation on those, getting them ready to put into the model. And I'm certain in the next 2 or 3 weeks we'll have that model up and running, and certainly by the next monthly call we'll be able to report back on the preliminary analysis of that data.
Peter, can you tell us, kind of just in generalities, how that's going to be done and how it's different than what you did with the past kids?
What's different from the past kids?
Yeah.
I'm not sure I know what you mean.
The analysis that you're going to do.
Well, initially it will be a dual model of the shape of the corpus callosum and the face. But obviously, the difference being now that instead of just using landmarks and distances like palpable fissure width or the coding, you know, the subjective coding on the Astley scale, we'll now be using the full 3D shape of the face, and in particular, we'll be able to look at the philtrum. You know, as I think I outlined in that short progress presentation I did at the face-to-face meeting. So it's to some extent reproducing what Elizabeth's group had already done, but now we're doing it with the full 3D shape. I suppose that's the main progress on that. But if there, and I think there are other brain components, I mean, correct me, Elizabeth, I think there are other brain components that have been segmented that also could be evaluated in a similar way.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that we are relatively important, but not too complex for a first try.
Yeah. I think it's best to stay with the corpus callosum initially.
Yeah.
And see what we get, because I mean, this software that Mike's produced, you know, could still be a little flaky. It's a new implementation of combining the two models.
Yeah.
Although I think it's fairly stable now, so I think we'll get some nice results from that.
Peter, another thing is, I'd like to kind of be kept up to date on what you're seeing in case we can help interpretation with respect to the brain part. I don't know how to do that, but I'd be interested in being part of it, not to impede anything, but to help figure out directions and interpretation.
Well, I think the other important thing, of course, is that we're going to, on these models, we'll be overlaying the behavioral and cognitive data. Mm-hmm. So we'll be pulling all three together. So
yeah.
It's important that I do keep you and Claire and Sarah updated on our progress, because at some point, we'll have to decide how best to overlay that data, whether the cognitive data is passed to us or whether we pass the model to other people. It's probably better if people pass us the actual cognitive data, because you know, we've got the software environments in which to then overlay on the signature graphs. Sorry about that. If you can hear people talking, that's a table nearby. I think we'll be able to see progress in overlaying that cognitive data, very much like we did with the South African data and in the pediatrics paper. So we'll be drawing up those signature graphs, but now they'll be signature graphs not just of the face, but of pairs of face and brain, and then we'll be overlaying the cognitive data as well. But we'll obviously need guidance on that from Elizabeth and Claire and Sarah on which pictures to actually overlay.
Peter, this is Ken. Are you overlaying the length of the palpebral fissures as well as the lipometer scores?
Oh, yes, we can do that as well. Yeah, that's
thank you.
Relatively easy to do. Yeah.
You want
to? Yeah, so I'm sorry, Ken. I should have added you to that list as well. What I think we'll do is perhaps in two or three weeks, when we've got the first idea of how the model's behaving, we'll send some illustrations of the analysis out to everyone on the cognitive side and on the dysmorphology side, and then we'll maybe have a conference call or something to discuss how we might put the additional data on top of the face and the brain shape data.
But Peter, one question. When I was talking with Mike at the meeting, I was asking if it's possible for us to get a contour of the midline face, just a single line, from you.
Well, you mean a curve? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because
yeah.
we can play around with stuff, too. If we just have that one facial midline curve that you automate from the 3D image, 3D...
Well, I mean, we've already been doing that ourselves as well, but if you want to do something in parallel, I suppose that's possible. But we'll be using the midline anyway. we don't always use the whole face. Remember, we build models with the midline and also with the philtrum only.
Can we get that one line contour?
Sure. I mean, I'd be interested to know what you're going to do with it.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So I have a question. Since Sarah, do you have some sense of which behavioral measures, given the anatomical region?
We haven't. I mean, we certainly have lots of behavioral measures, but we haven't. I don't think it's to the point where we're going to pull those data in. So no, we haven't really thought too far on that. Originally, I think this was really just face and brain, so weren't involved in those initial discussions. But we can certainly come up with appropriate measures for that.
Well, if you remember, what we did with Sandy Jacobson was we derived that signature graph that seemed to separate the heavy exposure children into two separate groups, and we sent her the list of IDs of those two groups. And then she looked at the various cognitive measures, and she came up with the difference in terms of the face matching, the sort of the cognitive effect. So we could do the same with Sarah as well.
I think partly it's going to depend on who the subjects are.
Yes.
Because they're going to be coming from different portions of the project. And so I think essentially what Sandy did, we'll do once we know which subjects to look for, we'll pull the best variables that we have on the most subjects.
Okay, so that might mean then, is it possible then that there are slightly different variables in the different groups?
Well, I think it goes back to the phase. Are these phase 2 subjects, phase 3 subjects? And so we did talk about, I know there were a lot of emails back and forth on that. So I think that's where, so it's possible.
Yeah,
but what we're hoping is that we're going to have variables that are that exist in everybody.
Yeah, so they're both phase 2 and phase 3 they have now.
Yeah, so it's possible that there will, but we'll pick the, but we'll, when it comes to that point, we'll definitely pick the, we'll work, with you guys to figure out which are the best variables that we have on the most subjects. I think the biggest limiting factor will be, we want the most, we want the biggest N.
Well, Sarah, we already know now which ones are going to be in this first pass analysis because we decided to just go with what we have instead of waiting. Right, so if Peter sent you a list, then we would know who they were and what they had.
I think it's important then actually that when we have our full list of this 120 or so, we send that list out to everyone so everyone's prepared for which individuals from their own cohort are involved in that analysis.
Right.
Yeah.
This is Bill. Would it perhaps be useful to have them in the central repository too?
They're already in the central repository.
The base maps that you were talking about? Or just the list?
The list of IDs is easy to do.
Right.
To actually put the face data into the repository is much more challenging.
No, we do them as blobs.
What about the curve of the face? Is that identifying?
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
What about the midline contour of the face?
Yeah.
Would that be too identifying?
I wouldn't think so.
If the face is identifying, I would think the profile, you can tell, okay, if you know the kid on an MRI, you can tell who is, right? Don't you think if you look at a mid-sagittal section and you know the kid, you can tell who it is?
Yeah, but you'd have to know the kid.
But that's what identifying means, right?
No, identifying means that the general public could identify them. Not that other expert knowledge.
Section of an MRI, you can identify an individual?
No, they're talking about the profile.
You're talking about the profile. All right.
Profile. Yeah, and that's what Elizabeth asked about.
I can identify my kids from a profile. I think, Peter, maybe you can, but I don't think people in the general population can.
Right. That was my point. Thanks, Ken. But
so it sounds though that as far as doing the, I mean, the mesh doesn't make sense in terms of putting it into the central. Is that what you're saying?
We're not allowed
Peter?
To put the mesh in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why not? We have identifiable information in there.
Yeah.
We're all under the same IRB.
But a midline maybe could be in there with.
Right.
Okay, well, it sounds like, Peter, then when you have, you're going to send that out, and then there'll be probably a follow-up call with all the parties involved on the next steps of the strategy.
Can I
ask? Dr. Mustard started.
Did anyone else have any other questions?
Yeah, I've got a question for Peter regarding the profiles from the fetus. Are you there, Peter?
This is Jill. I can see on the call list that his number dropped, so
cool.
He might have lost reception.
Then I won't ask him now.
Such restraint.
He might be back.
Or he may have gone to the concert.
Yeah, it's easy for me to tell because he calls in from an international number, and he's not on the list right now. So.
Another time, yeah.
Maybe we want to move on to the WebEx.
Yeah. Was there any other, just any other discussion or questions about the combined analysis before we move on?
I'm happy with the level of discussion, the work, you know, getting all those doubling those numbers so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Keep it up.
Okay, so why don't we move then to Bill. Does everybody have the WebEx on their computers?
We got it here.
I'm not viewing it, and I don't know why. There we go.
Oh, we're sharing our desktop now.
I see it, yep.
And we'll be going through our presentation. However, it's mostly just words, so those people who don't have WebEx, I don't think it's absolutely killer. And this will be both myself and Michelle will be talking about this, and really we're mostly doing a kind of an update on some of the things that particularly came out of the annual meeting. So we're going to really talk about three things, really just two things, the DAC, the Data Access Committee update, a little bit about the monthly data report, not so much, but really as a lead into Michelle talking and giving a demonstration of the central repository report and query tools. So if you see for the next slide, and I'll go through these bullet points, here's what we saw, what we took away as the charge to the Data Access Committee was, first of all, and to identify the data by phase, and starting with phase one, and we're going to talk a little bit more, I'll talk a little more of that in the next slide. So the second thing was to review data quality and completeness, and we have a tool called Application Express that Michelle will be showing off as a tool that we can provide to you to help do those determinations, to review current consents and to identify usage limitations, and Tatiana, we're going to be working with Tatiana on that, to identify a process for review of external requests for phase one data, including grant acknowledgement, and we're happy to look at the COGA model for that. In fact, I looked at that, familiarized myself with that a little bit more today, and it's a pretty simple model, and I think since it's all used by another NIAAA project, I think it'll probably work pretty well for us as well. And basically that's just you have a letter from on university stationery that describes the project. You have a one- or two-page application. You provide the investigator's CV, and that pretty much comprises the request for data. And then a process, and then that's reviewed by the steering committee. That application actually goes to NIAAA, and then the steering committee of this consortium would then review that and determine if that's appropriate use of the data. And then the last part is establishing a process and tools for data access, including cross query tools, which Michelle again is gonna go through today. So phase one identification, here's the next slide. So we got a lot of responses back from Sarah. Thank you, Sarah, in terms of the what is indeed a phase one project. It ended up being a little bit more difficult to suss out than we thought. So neurobehavioral project, growth period was from basically September 2003 to the end of August 2006. However, there was no cost extension until 8/1/2007. So for newer behavior, we're using September 30th, 2003 to August 31st, 2007 as their phase one. There are a few exceptions. There are five more records were identified that can be then can be potentially reassigned to phase one, even though they were collected up until February 2009. 3D facial imaging has slightly different dates. There's no brain imaging data was identified that would satisfy the date range for phase one, so we don't think we have any brain imaging data that qualifies as phase one. Elizabeth, you can correct us if you're wrong on that. I'm sorry?
That is correct. There was no imaging data from phase one.
Right. Okay. We're not sure about other projects. So what we need to do is, so we think we've got neurobehavioral nailed down. We'd like to know dates from other projects because, I mean, really, it's up to you what, to some degree, you're the final arbiters on what are indeed your phase one data. And we're happy to make exceptions. We're happy to define the parameters around phase one as they are determined by you. But other than that, we have kind of a generic fallback that September 30th, 2003 to August 31, 2007 is what comprises as a default phase one data. So kind of that's where we are with identifying phase one data. It's been a little bit involved, and we appreciate your assistance in helping to nail down what is phase one so that those are the data that we can pull together and advertise as being able to be requested by use by other scholars and get that kind of access and that process up and going. So the next slide that's up is the monthly data report ending April 30th of 2014. And really this is mostly up there to not only to show progress, but really to just so that you can see what's in the central repository so that when Michelle jumps on next and start talking about the tools that we have, you'll have an idea of kind of what those tools would be able to access. So I'm turning it over to Michelle now for him to demo.
All right. So I'm going to be talking about three things here on falls under the Central Repository Report and Query Tools. Everything I'm going to mention is current available in the Central Repository. So you can go ahead while I'm talking anytime, just poke around and see what it does. If for any reason, okay, you don't have access to the Central Repository or you have an issue getting to the Central Repository, please send me a note and I'll take care of that. So the first thing you want to talk about here is what are called the report tools, and pretty much they are used for data browsing and quality control, and they are developed with from Oracle called Application Express. Application Express is, and I'm going to do like a demo in a moment so you see what I'm talking about, but Application Express is very helpful if you want to design reports. Okay, if you want to look at your data, export the data, and slice and dice and things like that. The reports that are currently available on the Central Repository is called the Demographic Group Class Phase 1 and Phase 3. We also have the Neural Behavioral Completeness Phase 2 and the TALIS Phase 3. And with that in mind, I'm going to go to the Central Repository. And so if you've seen the Central Repository before, okay, you have the index page which looks like this. The reports are located at the end. And as I said, you can poke around and do whatever. I'm just going to pick one here. I'm going to go with Demographic Class Phase 3 because Phase 3 is the latest stuff. So that's what it looks like. It is developed in, as I said, Oracle Application Express. And first thing, and I believe, and Sarah, please correct me if I'm wrong here, but I believe what the demograph GroupCrest report means. Hold on a second, I'm stuck here. Is just to make sure that the subjects are explicitly like grouped, are like organized in a particular group, so when you can do a comparison, okay, it's consistent all over the sites. Did I get this right?
Yes, that's correct. We have an algorithm that computes what group the child is in based on the information in the database, and that's what you're seeing here for each. Like, so that first line is the subject number 234 from the Atlanta database, and those are the variables for that subject. So DEM group class, I'm going to forget the codes, I have them written down, is those that tells you what group that subject is in.
Okay, thank you. So as far as using this, one thing that is very helpful is this actions option, and allows you, you can filter, for example, say in global ID, I can choose whatever column I want. I'm going to do like global ID just for kicks. The operator here, okay, if it's equal, if it's different, and things like that. And the expression in this case, just for example, I'm going to use CCA 234. Okay, and when I apply, okay, I just get one record. And then if I want to get everything back, I just kind of like uncheck this, and I'm back where I was. You can see here on top, I have like phase two, phase three. Right now, phase three is selected. If I switch this, I get phase two and so forth. So anyway, it's a very nice, simple way to go ahead and look at your data and see if it matches your criteria.
But just to jump in here, so this is only really grouping information. It doesn't. There's no neurobehavioral data in this. On this
in
report.
This particular report.
Right. So just this in what we use to determine whether subjects have enough data to be grouped and to have what their to list what their group is. But we would have to combine this with other databases to get to actually be able to use it.
Correct. Another one, oops, there we go. There we go. So another one we can look real quick is that Tyler's report. Anyway, they are kind of very similar, and they are available in the central repository. You can go ahead and click. Depending on the complexity of the report, it might take a little while to show the data. I'm going to skip this one here, but as I said, there are like four options here. People can poke around and get a feel for how it works. Back to the. So there's that. Now the second one on the list, I want to talk about the cross-query tool. And the idea behind the cross-query is to be able to combine the data, okay, from different data sets. So this morphology, like neural behavior, I mean, things like that. And once you pretty much get your result set, you can go ahead, you can download the data from analysis in different formats. I think the current one we have is Excel, XML, and Commodore Lib. However, as Eric can also give more information on this, there are some issues with the cross-query tool. The main one is that we know is what we call this matrix effect, okay, which is when you select different data sets, it attempts to pretty much to combine all the possible interactions on the results, when in reality we're just like looking for one certain line of data. The best way to explain this is the Punnett square. Just real quick, if you combine, say, AB, AB, you get like AA, AB, AB, BB. And we just want to get like AA, AB, and BB. So there's one thing. Also, I want to try to implement ranges, okay, to try to limit what we're looking for. They're not really working the way we expected. And also, when we develop the cross query, we kind of sacrifice usability. So we'll focus more on functionality, try to get the thing to work. So the interface is not as pretty as the what you saw of the Oracle Application Express. With that, I'm going to go ahead and show the cross query, which, as I said, is also available here from in the center repository, so everybody has access to that. So the first thing that you notice is that the interface hasn't been updated. For example, we don't have like phase three and also new data from any like new behavior data, for example. But the way it would work would be the following. It's a sequence of steps, step one, step two, step three. The first step, you select which data set you're interested in. So I'm just going to click on something. As I said, if you anybody wants to play around, you can go ahead and click on different stuff. I'm just clicking on things. I already know. I'll do exams here just in case. And then I'll click Next. And then the second step, what we'll do is we list me all the view fields for all the data sets that you select in the previous step. So if I scroll here, and you can see why I said we focus more on functionality than usability. It's not the prettiest user interface, but so we got here, here's a 3D facial imaging. Keep scrolling down. So this morphology exams and neural behavior can tap. Just let me know if I'm moving too fast. So go all the way down here, the whisk, everything there selected. And to expedite, so I'm just going to do like a show. You can select each field separately, but just for the purpose of this demo to save some time, I'm just going to go ahead and select all the fields, and I'm just going to click Next. So what we, the cross query is going to do at this point, it will go to all the tables that we selected, and it's going to combine the results and display. If you've done, if you use the independent query tools that want to have like in dysmorphology and neural behavior, okay, you're going to get a result that's kind of looks like I select a whole lot. So it's going to be a few minutes. But you get the result, and it's going to look just like the normal query, and then you can export in Excel, XML, or yeah, I think I selected too many. So give a few moments here. If not, I can abort this and just select a few tables. How am I doing on time?
Yeah, you selected a lot of tables.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot. There's a lot. Oh, all right, there you go. This is the price you pay for doing those live demos. And as I said, this is available in the central repository. You can poke around. So now we have records. I'm going to scroll down real quick. And yada, yada, yada. So you see the record here. And then if you scroll this way, you see pretty much all the columns that are being selected.
So, Michelle, while you're scrolling, you know, we have talked about this, but, you know, there are the issues that we've had with cross-query, or at least the most important ones, I think, are that it returns lots of duplicate records. So there are subjects that are listed more than once. But also the other big thing is in terms of combining it with that DEM group class table that you showed us earlier, it doesn't seem to be doing that. So we can have, you know, hundreds of subjects with thousands of data points, but if we can't combine them with group, it doesn't help us. And so, you know, that's the thing. It doesn't work. You know, so we've had to come up with ways to work around and combine things after the fact. But it really needs to be in the cross-query tool.
Sure, yes. Yeah, we're aware of that. And we're also aware of the work doing the multi-table report, which is next on my list here. But we know that there are some issues with the cross-query. We really want to address them and make this useful. We'd also be helpful if to get feedback from the other collaborators if there are certain things they would like to see in a cross-query as well. Try to make this helpful and useful for everybody. But, yeah, we're aware of those issues where we have the returning the duplicates, and I don't think the cross-query has been integrated with the demo group class since last time we worked on this. But we will focus on it, work on the issues, and try to make this helpful so we can actually get the results that you need.
So to echo Michelle's comments, so this actually is a priority for us to work on the cross-query tool now. So if that's why we're making sure to reach out for you for feedback. We already have some great comments from Sarah and her team. So if other folks want particular functionality for the cross-query tool, now is a good time to get that to us, because we're starting to work on it now as a next thing.
So this is Sarah again, and I'm sorry, I feel like a broken record, but I know that I've brought up the cross-query tool every year at our meeting. We've talked about it many, many times. This is the 13th year of our award, and I think, and it's just exceedingly frustrating to not be able to access the hundreds of hours of data that have gone into the database. And I really appreciate your asking for feedback, but I feel like I personally have given lots of feedback.
Okay.
And it really needs to be fixed.
Okay, that's fair.
Thank you.
Any other comments from anybody else? Okay. So the last me just once frozen.
Go back in the page. Go back.
There, that's what I want. Okay. So the last thing that I want to mention, which is a consequence of Sarah's comments that the cross-query has been very helpful and useful at all, is the work we're doing was called the multi-table like query report for the Neuro project. Okay, so Helen has been working on this multi-table report, which is pretty much to address what Sarah just explained, is that trying to get the data and the cross-query is not working. So the idea here is to try to combine pretty much the other data sets, like this morphology, like demographics, blah, blah, with like, neurobehavior. So right now it's not as exhaustive as a cross-query, and everything is matched on global ID. So this, it's available under the neurobehavior behavior. the near behavior demographics, if you go here and do like query data, okay, you see this section here called like other projects. So we have the group class here, this more follow like brain 3D phase. So what this thing does, it pretty much combines the neurobehavior data with this project here. I'll do a select phase 3 as a demo and then submit and wait for the results. It's gonna the results are gonna look very similar to what is or not. So I guess I'll just do something here. Waiting for the results here. It's still a work in progress. A couple of things that there are next on the list for this particular report is to be able to save the results. So actually pretty much save the parameters that you use to create the results so that you're not doing the same thing over and over again. And you saw on the cross query, you can export the data in Excel and XML. We want to also add support for SPSS. Why are the things still thinking? It's gonna the results that's gonna look just like the one show from the results in the cross query. I'll wait this. We almost to what 10 more minutes before this.
Well, there's a couple other agenda items too. I think that Jill has at least, right?
Yeah, we have other updates. So if this is gonna
okay, so I'm gonna
take a while.
Stop here while I let the thing run. If people have okay, we got the results here. So it looks just similar to what we had before. Anyway, I'm gonna stop here. If there are any questions, or if you don't have any issues accessing the central repository, if there are any questions, let us know. This is the team, the same people that we mentioned in DC. So I have Bill, Nash, me, Andy still around, and Helen. Nobody has any questions or anything? Okay. There are no questions, or if you have follow-up questions, feel free to email us. Otherwise, thank you for the time.
Thank you. And then, so in our last 10 minutes, we'll just go through project updates. I'll start with Tina.
Oh, thank you. So Claire and Julie are here in San Diego with the objective of what we talked about at the face-to-face meeting, which is getting the papers out and submitted. In terms of recruitment, as you've seen on Google Docs, we've challenged the group in Ukraine to get this, as many kids in to catch up with our end of year two goals of 90 in each group, and they've, according to Google Docs, they've brought in the last month and 13 in the two-year-old age group, so that I think they're on track by July, which was the goal to get to catch up. I think Julie says there are still some issues with them being able to upload the preschool testing battery via the website, and so she's continuing to work with them trying to resolve those issues. And the 3D images were sent from Melnitsky via the internet to Jeff,
And so Jeff has received the images and is looking at them now. And otherwise, Rajesh Miranda talked to this week, and he's run 6 samples and has sufficient funding to do 60, which he thinks he'll have done in the next 3 or 4 months. And he's going to share the microRNA data with Kelly Frazier and Kristen Jepson here, who are doing the methylation and exome sequencing on the same samples. So that's where we're at.
Okay. Any questions for Tina? I think we lost a lot of our science advisory board.
Right.
Scott?
We don't. Let's see. We just had a paper accepted into ACER. I think that was about all the updates from us.
You want to write up something about that and send it to me?
Yes, I will do that.
Okay.
What do you want, just a summary?
Yeah, just a lay description.
Okay.
That'd be great.
I can do that.
Okay.
Okay.
Sarah?
Well, we've just been testing away. But also, Ken Jones and I have been working on some analyses that we're trying to do with the dysmorphology and neurobehavior, and don't have anything specific to report, but hopefully we'll soon.
Okay. And Ken Jones?
I've done 2 more DVDs that I filmed about a week and a half ago. I've been out to Atlanta where we saw 53 children, and I'm going to be going to Minneapolis at the end of next week, and Jeff tells me that he's got 60 kids for me to see. So I've been busy.
Yep.
Okay. Anyone have any questions for Ken? Okay. Elizabeth?
Yeah, so there's a weird echo. Okay. So we, as Peter mentioned, Eric Kahn did all the colossal contours within about a week, I think, of our meeting. So way ahead of schedule. We are collecting time one imaging data at all the sites. We have one paper that's on its 3rd revision at cerebral cortex, and we're praying that it's the last, but that's the work that Propty has been doing on the longitudinal fMRI paradigm from CFAS-2 and other all sorts of analyses going on in the lab.
Okay. Any questions for Elizabeth? So, Johan?
Yeah, so I guess at our face-to-face meeting, the idea of ciliogenesis came up, so we've now just obtained KIT3A mutants, which have disrupted cilia. They came as embryos, so we'll be able to test them when they grow up. So in about 3 months, we'll have some data on that. We've been sequencing some of our other mutants. One is particularly exciting. It's a novel gene. There are no known mutants in it. It does have some homology to LRP2, which is involved in Wnt signaling. So we're following up on that right now.
Isn't LRP2 also a sonic ligand receptor?
Yeah, there is some evidence for that, that they can interact with several different pathways. So, yeah, I guess I had been thinking about it mostly with Wnt, but you're right. It could be involved in some other pathways as well.
That might be interesting.
Yeah, that would be very interesting.
Okay. And Tom, did you have anything to update from NOFAS?
Yes, just quickly, 2 things that we're doing that came out of the meeting last month. We're putting together a chart mapping the project descriptions with the priorities in the field as had been identified in a survey we had done of service providers and families to further help the layperson appreciate and understand the value of all the research, and then also in compiling testimonials from our 41 affiliates and other advocates regarding CFAS. So just have, and that's something both may be appropriate for CFAS website, our website as well, just to further document you know, the appreciation for all the work that's going on. And then let me also mention that thank Ken Jones for presenting the NOFAS webinar in April. Thank you, Ken, for doing that and getting some heavy download play from our archives on that. And then also NOFAS has for over 15 years annually recognized people in the field, whether they're researchers, scientists, advocates, lawmakers, and other folks. And we're very excited that the recipient of the NOFAS Excellence Award this year is Dr. Charnas. So, Michael, I don't know if you're still on, but we're looking forward to seeing you here in Washington on June 10th.
I'm still on, and thank you, and I look forward to going.
Okay, Tom, is there other things than while you're putting these materials together, and congratulations, Michael, that you need from us?
Well, once we have, you know, the testimonies and, of course, this chart and other information, then we'll, whether it's on a future call or through other channels, we'll obviously we'll share that with folks before anything would be posted or distributed.
Okay.
Feedback and see what you know, the best format and the best use is for that type of information.
Okay. All right. Did anyone else have any updates they want to bring up? Jeff?
No, but I had a question for Scott. Okay. Have you guys written anything on the ciliopathies as it relates to prenatal alcohol exposure?
We have not. We have just started exploring this.
Okay.
I'm submitting an R1 next month on this.
Okay.
But we have at this point is preliminary data.
Okay. Is there a place that I could? Has anything been written about the ciliopathies and alcohol exposure?
No, nothing.
Nothing. Huh? Okay.
There's stuff on the effects on cilia in the pulmonary system and other areas where it does change how fast or slowly cilia beat. So are known effects, but not on it, this angle that Scott has talked about is new for brain.
Yes, I'm sorry. I meant in prenatal alcohol exposure. Right. Alcohol has been shown to like change cilia beating and those sorts of things in like the pulmonary endothelial cells.
Okay. Thanks.
Yep.
Any other updates? And then I think before Jill has a quick announcement about billing.
Yeah, hi, it's Jill. So sorry the Rockville Hilton came with a couple of challenges this round. The first thing is that our contracted rate was 189, or was 185, and they billed you guys for 189. So if you start to see $4 refunds on the credit card you used, that's what those are per night. So I apologize about that. They didn't give me the master bill before they cleared it, so which is not typical. Normally I see them and I say, yep, that's okay, and we move forward, but that stuff was not present this time, and I heard other random reports. So if you guys can give me some feedback, I'm kind of working on something with them. So if there's any other things that came up that I'm not totally complaining, but I'm just letting them know that we're repeat, you know, business, and the business side of me is coming out. So give me anything that you need in an email, that would be great. And then just a couple other things, continue to send Jennifer news and updates to the website. Check the website and make sure that your publications are showing up on the PubMed list that we have going, which is just your grant number. So if you're mentioning the grant number as a source of support, it should be showing up on that PubMed list. And then as your notice of grant awards start to come in at the end of the month, just go ahead and send me those PDFs. Do I miss anything? NIAAA, anything?
Can't think of anything here.
Okay.
Continuing study.
For?
Well, our project is due.
What was that?
our informatics score, our continuing study approval is due now. I don't know if anybody else is on the same schedule.
I don't know what that is.
Progress report for the next year?
Yeah, it's our IRB.
Oh, to your IRB. Okay, internally.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So we get that to you every time we get it done.
Yes, yes. As you, yeah. The admin course should always keep on file the current IRBs and IRBs. Correct, correct. So if you get those, send those to me. Sorry.
Okay, well, we're at the top of the hour. Any final comments? If not, thank you, everyone. And we'll talk next month.
Thank you.
If anyone has a WebEx that they'd like to present next month, let me know.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.